Hi, welcome to 4IR South Africa podcast with myself, your host, Ndogo Zomthembu. Everybody calls me TJ. You'll find out the story about why as we go along with these shows. But I'm not alone. I'm with my co-host. Ranel, introduce yourself. What's up?
All right, how are you, my good friend?
I'm good, but now you're good?
Good. I know I'm fine. Yeah. I'm just excited to...
We're here. We're finally doing it. Recording our first episode.
Indeed. But even more important, to send out what we've been wishing and willing.
Come on.
To send out.
Yeah. And what's that specific? Before we even started, you just went into action mode.
You know, I don't
what
get
are we trying to do here, Bana?
No, look, I mean, the fourth industrial revolution is today's topic.
Yeah.
Okay. It is today's topic because it is a sign of new social order to come.
Mm.
First and outright, a new social order.
On a massive scale, globally, actually.
Yes. So as South Africa, we're only one of those countries that have to seemingly now respond to this global phenomenon. Okay,
yeah.
I would admit that it's unfortunate for us that it is new news.
Yeah.
But for the leading pack of countries that have really understood and driven this fourth industrial revolution.
Yes.
Because remember, this is an industrial revolution.
Come on. So it talks to the economy, basically.
Indeed.
Which is one of the things that for South Africa right now, it's the thing. Our economy needs help. It needs someone to come and rescue it.
Yeah. And this fourth industrial revolution,
come on.
If properly treated and understood,
yeah,
it stands to even revolutionize the South African economy. So it comes as, you know, the application of new technologies to almost every aspect of life.
Basically.
And of course, I would always want to say it's nothing new.
Mm.
What we're dealing with now, as we even now have coined it, fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah.
We have been dealing with it since the days of globalization,
yeah.
when the term globalization came to being. Of course, at the time, it was just explaining the connections.
Sure.
You know? But the connections at a medium scale, if you want, people were now able to connect easier. For example, DSTV multi-choice.
Yes.
When South Africa started bringing digital satellite technology, then it was a connection towards the world beyond SABC. So what you see then is globalization has been happening. The point is that this technology now advanced so much from a software and hardware perspective. Apple phone, you know, a phone that is done in a specific way.
Yeah. And has a lot of capability and a lot of capacity.
Of course.
And
of
the
course.
Other technologies are surrounding that
of
as
course.
Well.
So,
that
so
they've reached a point now where they play a massive role in the way we live, how we live, and how and some of the things that we do, like how we work.
Yeah. But in fact, more important, how we work and how it is aiming to change.
And yes, listener, in case you're wondering, we're getting to the unemployment situation now, because that 4IR is definitely going to have an effect on that, good or bad.
Yes. Now, as we do what we do, our intention with this podcast and some of the other text-based products that we will be giving through our
like
website.
Like our blog, for example.
Yes. The idea is for once to demystify, because whether or not your ordinary citizen, your ordinary listener of the podcast understands it, this is a discussion that is happening at a level higher than them. This is a discussion
but
that
it has implications on them.
It has implications on them, as the bank staff have recently saw it.
A lot of tensions went up right there.
Yes, and in fact, had it not been that the unions that were active in the sector said, no, we will shut down the bank industry. In fact, I'll tell you that when the South African and European Union partners were discussing this thing, trying to frame the thinking for South Africa on how to respond to this thing that has already happened in Europe. For example, the problem with Uber did not start here.
It so they had already Europe. Experienced
exactly
it. Because now, for exactly example, you're talk, for example, you're talking about what nearly happened in the banking sector. And, you know, one of the most profound things is that with situations like these, with trends like these, where something starts somewhere else and then it starts to have an impact on the country, a lot of people react after the fact. They don't see it coming. And I think it's worth noting here that one of the things that we're trying to do is to bring people to that point where they realize that, wait a minute, this fourth industrial revolution is not just a whole new host of toys that I can play with, but rather it has implications on my career. It has implications on my children's career, and I need to position myself accordingly. I can't just continue one way and yet there's information that's saying maybe this is going to change at some point. So that's what we're trying to deal with.
In fact,
lack of awareness.
Yes. In fact, I like how you put it, because for once, and I speak as somebody whose background has been in government for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
10 years old. And having traveled,
and it's going to be interesting in the following podcast when you tell us about your experience.
And in the point being that I have seen the disconnect in how government flows its agenda.
Yes,
public engagement at an effective level has not really happened.
Okay, and that is why
you see. Maybe let me put it like this. This is a state, you know, a government led by South Africa, a government that comes from a space where the social order was such that there are those who were not even going to be told if there was a tsunami tomorrow, because they did not matter as citizens. But now you have a new government who, as part of its duty since its inception, was democratization. And democratization comes with sharing information.
Engaging
with the public.
As opposed to just dictating to them what ought to happen.
Indeed. So unfortunately, I'm reflecting this point here because I see that what we are even trying to do here with this podcast is essentially to bridge that gap that is there and that is real. But we're bridging it now, because if there was ever an important time,
it's now. Especially we see what's happening, and with the example that you made with the banking sector, that it's no longer an abstract thing now.
We can
see the impact that, technology is here, and it could potentially supplant a lot of jobs, and we already have a problem with unemployment.
And in fact, I will add on to that before I get to this point. And maybe just to close the point on what we are doing. Is that this paternalism, if you know what I mean, this dependency on what government is saying. Government is leading the vision of society.
Yes.
And all citizens are recipients of whatever reality that is created.
Okay.
In fact, if you see the service delivery protests, and I say this with authority because I've worked in a department there where I dealt with a local government.
Okay.
So municipal governance, one of the key reasons why they even created what they call the back to basics strategy.
Yes.
One of the key things that there was an attempt to address was this deficit of trust between the public and government,
which is exactly what's leading to the frustration now, that there's no lack of trust between the citizen and the government.
Now look at it this way: had it been that banking sector people were informed of these changes, the ones that have just lost their jobs, and you know, losing a job in a context of an almost impossibility to get it in at the rate of speed that would be helpful.
Okay.
Is like throwing somebody at the deepest end and hoping them to come out in a day
because
in 3 hours.
Because the issue is that now that person's capacity, it's not that the business is downscaling because we have financial issues.
Yes.
No, it's just that now there's a machine that will basically make that person useless even in future, necessitating that person to reskill themselves because it's not like that job is going to open up again.
Now, here's another point. Even businesses,
they're experiencing the same
thing. Because if they don't apply new technologies to streamline the activities, look at Hollard. I'll make an example about Hollard.
Okay.
All these companies that are now buying into app technology.
Yes.
Why are they buying into app technology?
Mm.
All right. Because they are seeing its benefits. You understand?
So they're seeing way it can take them as a business.
It is not just that because the banks are using digital technology to transact now. You know, Hollard as an insurer can't do the same.
So your point being that if businesses are seeing a need to incorporate the advancements into how they do business, are you trying to say the individual needs to do the same to realize that I need to upgrade how I do things in order to keep up?
No, what I'm saying here is even businesses are impacted.
Okay.
Because this 4IR may either, you know, kill you off as a business because the competitor is using much more less costly systems to do the same job as you are doing.
I get
you. If you've got Hollard and you've got another one insurer there, and then the other insurer doesn't have an app.
Mm.
The very fact that, you know, Hollard has got a convenient way. That is
why
FNB.
Convenience.
Yeah, that
nowadays.
Is why you see FNB has taken the award for the best bank.
Yeah, because of how they're using technology to make life more convenient
for
their
customers. Yeah, so it is serious. It's not just for the individual. The individual's interface here is I can lose a job, I can be redundant.
Now that's an interesting point that you're bringing here of how businesses are using technology to make the user experience more comfortable. Now that in the case of FNB, for example, that's a good point because they've got the money to actually do that,
of course,
to actually make that change. I think one of the things that we will be attempting to address here is that what happens to the small business owner who's just started yesterday with little or no capital at all, that all right, I want to break into that industry, but the trends are moving in that way so much so that I'm not sure how to respond. So we're trying to also address that.
Yes, because the average business SMME would not have the capability to just source that technology and at one go.
Yes.
But what it would also do, it will create a point where even the shape of business competitiveness would be defined by the amount of technology you use.
All right.
So if you don't have the money for that technology, you won't have quicker access. By the way, the 4IR, it is driven by that rapid
technological advancement.
Exactly. You know, it's something unrelenting because the scope of making these technologies is so huge and limitless. You understand?
Gotcha.
It's just, what do you need? If tomorrow, the reason why you even have artificial intelligence where it is that realization that it is a limitless, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to have robots that can build houses, for God's sake.
Now, what happens to the construction industry and all the people that it employs?
So those are the business considerations. But,
yes.
But to close off on the point I wanted to make about what we are doing. What we are doing here is to try and, one, first, conscientize that if there's ever a time for one individual or business to participate in an unfolding reality on their on their lives.
Yes.
Is now. Yeah? But what we are doing, we are trying to make them find their future in there.
Come on.
You know? But even more so, we're trying to give them scope and try and disseminate information faster. It is the information that we have collated for their convenience so that they don't get left out.
Okay.
So that they are also aware of the opportunities. For example, if someone knows that there has been, let me use an IT expert or an IT technician or an IT, somebody in the IT industry.
Yes, yes.
Who, well, for all intents and reasons, know that they would, you know, supposedly as they're standing now, their jobs are safe.
Mm.
But you see, an IT person, unless, you know, the company cannot buy robotics that can fix the hardware of computers.
Yes.
Or that cannot install those computers.
Are you trying to say they are safe only in that scenario?
Only in that scenario, even not so safe, because computers, there would be computers made which actually are there, a mainframe that controls, you know, almost like an administrator of all the other computers. Right?
Now,
yes. you wouldn't need an IT technician.
Yes.
If you have a built-in system that plays out scenarios, when the system is down, it is because of reason 1, 2, 3, and in that regard, go to 3, go to 4, go to 7, which is that coding thing they're talking about.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So it will self-manage, and you will not have a reason to have a IT technician. So what I'm saying is, we prepare that technician.
Yes.
Because over time and by the understanding of social order of South Africa,
yes,
he may not have the interest at that level. He may not, because South African citizens, to be blunt, that's why there's always been an invitation for them to be participative in the politics. There's a call for them to not be apathetic. There's a call for them to have some consciousness about what's happening in their country. You know, I always hate when there's fashionable new ways, such as at the time, active citizenship. When the government knows that it cannot invite people to be confrontational to it. It has to be a government that's responsible enough to work with the people. Right. So what we are seeing is that en masse, as it is the case now even with this fourth industrial revolution, information and discussions, people, these are running as an elitist discussion, an elitist topic. That's why, even if they've mixed there and there social partners and whatsoever, again, they have cherry-picked, you know, people to be the thinkers in that presidential steering committee or council or committee on the fourth industrial revolution. These people, that 30 people that they have chosen to give us the millions,
yeah,
a perspective on how they think we can make things, we can survive this change.
Perhaps when you're talking about perspective, let's also clarify that, you know, in as much as we're citing all of the what's normally called externalities, you know, the fourth industrial revolution, as with other revolutions that have gone before it, it has tendencies of 1, 2, 3. One of the most profound ones that we've already cited is the issue of now removing people out of their jobs because machines, computers can do it better. That, let's clarify that now, that we're not saying we are against the the fourth industrial revolution and the trends, but rather what are we saying about the fourth industrial revolution, first to government and to the private sector, and to someone who works in either or even wants to start a business?
I had a discussion with you earlier, a talk,
yes,
and said there are a lot of people that have seen the value of discussions about this thing.
Come on.
You know, you've got the fourth industrial revolution grouping that is universities called FORISA.
Yes.
And lots of other interest groups.
All right.
But the point is, they felt the pulse first and said,
that it's something's like, happening.
Yeah. If I know you are a fan of sci-fi movies like me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't even start.
Now, if you know Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, there was a movie here which I'm trying to remember the title, where there was a what they call a, in science,
okay,
a meteor that was so big.
And then they had to go up in space and blow it up.
Yes.
I forgot the name of the movie as well now.
That movie. Yes. So the 4IR is something like that.
Mm.
Whether you like it or not,
something's
there
coming.
There is that meteor
that's heading already, towards us. That's and potentially already, you, the listener, as well.
That, yes, that's already hitting Earth, you know, called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So it's not neither a point of you want to attend to it or you don't want to attend to it. You don't have a choice, but you have to face it.
That's a very powerful statement, because, you know, in the blog that we released, and we'll release details of where you can find our blogs and connect with us on social media. But one of the most powerful statements that was ever made that I also referenced there is that the question is not will disruption come to my industry, but when will disruption come to my industry?
Yeah, indeed. But look, I mean, the point is that we would like this space to be, you know, a space of questions,
yes,
from our listeners. We'd like to hear their perspective and their views.
And the experiences as well.
And the experiences as well. And I'm sure there are those that...
And the possible solutions that they've thought of. Because you might find
and
that
even the
greatest thinkers of 4IR, yes, are actually in the country, not in government. But they need to actually be in a space where they can exercise those solutions.
In fact, you hit it on the nail, because that's why this portal,
yes,
this podcast,
yes,
is being established. So that for once, we don't... react to government direction, but we find our space in this reality.
Fantastic.
Now, you know.
Fantastic.
So, but remember, the problem with South African citizens, as I had reflected, it is not just simply the apathy, but that a culture of participation in democracy was not built.
Yeah,
you know, the only participation that our politicians seek is at the elections time, at the ballot. But let me tell you, the grand societies of our time, you can do this research, you know, and our listeners can just check that around.
Yes.
That the most advanced and successful societies have had an element of a strong public engagement, a strong public participation in the affairs of government.
The individual doesn't actually even need to go research it, because you look at, for example, we also had this conversation where we were talking about how you look at our democracy. Our democracy didn't just fall from the sky. Every citizen got involved with the injustice that they saw.
Yes.
And as a result, some of us had to die for that.
Mm.
Some of us had to spend time in prison for fighting an oppressive system. So in essence, this is actually what's happening now, where the individual needs to get involved for their own sake, because it's no longer now,
yes,
something that's,
yes,
outside,
yes,
you, but,
yes,
something that affects you,
yes,
as a citizen, not only of the country, but of the world entirely.
No, thank you for putting that that way,
mm,
because it will answer this question that we're asking ourselves. Having noted that we need to participate,
yes,
and we took the initiative to collect an understanding and to disseminate it down.
Yes.
We were possessed with one question here. Said, why is South Africa responding to the 4IR?
Yes, and that's the title of your blog. And I think we'll get into it in our second episode, but just unpack the introduction to it, and then we'll dig in on the next episode.
Yeah. Well, the reason why we are disconnected to this thing in the first instance as citizens, and why we need to close that gap, really is because we come from a history of oppression, one, but more specifically, we come from a history of administrative states.
All right, tell us more about what you mean by that.
Now, an apartheid state was a very administrative state.
Okay.
At the top there is government and all the people that have been chosen to govern.
All right.
And the rest are all that are recipients of governance, of services that government should give.
Come on.
Now, those governments, that kind of government, the apartheid government, was highly authoritative, had a very high value of social management, even worse so at the level of the Bantu population.
As they almost as if they were dictating.
No, of course. Yes. Of course, it was a very dictatorial arrangement.
System,
yes, that's why the position of black people, of African people in South Africa was as it was. Because here you were dealing with a highly administrative, highly violent state that was driven by a value system which obviously sought to turn others into laborers and others into recipients of the benefits of others' labor. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, fast forward post-1994. So the vision of that society of apartheid, as I've just said it, others will be laborers, others will be enjoying, and others would be owners, and others would be beggars, and others would be borrowers, and others would be lenders.
Interesting how it's almost as if we've inherited that dysfunctional system even now.
Indeed, that is the point. It is in fact what we had to end up doing is to manage the skeleton of that apartheid system.
Yeah.
Today, you still have the structure of the apartheid government systems still working, you know?
Which would probably parliament, point as it were, to the dysfunction that we're seeing right now.
Parliament, as it were. But the dysfunction, really, is in leadership.
Okay?
There, the structure and the functioning of that society, whoever had the perspective that the society must look like this for them, was successful. Because today, it actually did what the system sought out to do. Have those that are laborers still today.
Yeah.
Have those
still
that
begging.
Yes. Those that are borrowers are still borrowers today.
And drowning in debt.
And drowning in debt. And those that are lenders are even having much more strength in the past 20 years to be lenders. Trillions of rands are being reported that
have been stolen.
Stolen is one. Before we get to this grouping,
yes,
that is stolen.
Yes.
But that those that gained out of this transition from apartheid to the new government, to a democratic state, they have, you know, tripled some of the capital in their banks.
Their net worth.
Yeah, their net worth, you understand? And they say collectively, you know, they count trillions of rands of that liquidity that is sitting in banks, just counting the local business councils, or what you want to say, companies.
Yes.
You know, their net worth combined that they are holding in banks that they should be investing back. It's about trillions of rands. Now, you ask, You know, why do we get to that point? But even more so, why do we end up now finding ourselves on the back foot of this meteor that's coming our way?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, the apartheid government, you know, it met certain criteria for what we call a developmental state.
Mm.
So, it was taking deliberate action to create industries that will help their society. As they looked at it, they drove innovation. You know, they still are the best. You know, they have one of the best bot or best. So
they were progressive, basically.
No, they were developmental.
They were developmental.
Yes. So they had a vision of development, which is really the how do they improve the quality of the life of their citizens? How do they believe?
So there was a vision for the future there.
Of course.
All intents and purposes.
That's where we start. That's where all this thing starts.
Then perhaps that's what, and as we get to the close of this our first episode, perhaps that's the one thing that South Africa needs. To have a vision for the future and then have a strategy on how to actually bring that prediction, that desire into fruition.
No, I can tell you that is there.
Yeah.
But the question is the quality of it.
Mm.
Because the quality of it is why we find ourselves in this situation.
In the situation that
we're seeing. Yes, the quality of it was such that it did not focus on being sensitive to the global changes, especially at industry level. Well, let us say that the people in government, you see this notion of government being there and the private sector being there.
Yeah,
that's relationship, yeah, cannot improve an economy. In fact, there is a book by Meredith Wu Cummings.
Okay.
It's called The Developmental State.
Mm.
And it has a set of people who have written in there, like Chalmers Johnson.
Mm.
But what it is an expression of the key components
that need to be at play.
That the non-negotiables that needs to be satisfied. One of them is nationalism.
Yeah.
That, why do you see the Chinese so as they are today?
Yes.
Nationalism.
Mm.
They
were united under a common vision.
A common vision.
And that same spirit is exactly what liberated South Africa, united under a common vision that we want freedom.
Unfortunately, that common vision, that's why I said the quality, because that common vision was pretty much at addressing a social, attempting.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's still a project because people are killing each other here. People are calling every time they get a chance on Twitter. Three white people,
yes,
have gotten under the smoke for racist rants on Twitter.
Mm. So there's a disconnect in our society.
There's still a social
disconnect. As opposed to the unity that we need at this point in time.
Yes, but what's even worse is that in terms of the non-negotiables.
Yes.
You have all the countries that have succeeded, like Japan. Hmm? Not only did they have a vision, but they had the discipline.
Mm.
They had a state that ensured that it had good relations,
right,
with business, sure, but not parasitical relations that, yeah, we are seeing here.
But mutually beneficial relationships.
Indeed, because any smart businessman knows,
yeah,
that you can have bricks and mortar in a particular community,
yes,
and open a shop. What's going to sell your business is not what's in there only.
Exactly.
It's going to be how you relate with the community.
That's fantastic.
You understand?
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Look, for today, you know, it's interesting how just with the introduction of what we are attempting to do, we've unpacked so much. And, you know, to us, from us, to the viewer. This is one of the things that we hope we will foster, the conversations that will unpack these issues, because obviously, with everything that we've discussed now, it's clear that there's a lot at play here that we need to be observant on. I want to thank all our viewers for listening in for today, and you catch our next podcast. I will definitely include at the end of this podcast all the details of where you can find our blog, and we'll be discussing the blog actually in the next episode, where you can communicate with us and everything else that goes with it. But thank you for joining us for today. This is 4IR South Africa. Peace out. Shop, shop.